There is an old Jewish joke. They say that this young couple gets married, and the first Shabbos, the wife is making chicken, and she takes a whole chicken and puts it in her oven, and the husband goes berserk. How can you put a whole chicken in the oven? You are not allowed to put a whole chicken in the oven. She says, why? What's going on? That's how my mother always did it. She says, no, my mother always was telling me you have to cut chicken in half before you put it in the oven. You are not allowed. So she cuts it. But then afterwards, they go to the mother and said, yeah, yes, sure. You cannot put a whole chicken in the oven. You must cut it in half. You are not allowed. Why? That's how my mother told me. And then they go to the grandmother. And grandma says, yes, that's what my grandmother said. Thank God the great-grandmother was still alive. They go to her and says, oh, yeah. When we lived in Europe 80 years ago, we had a very small oven, so I had to cut my chicken in half. So this is a joke about how some people develop their customs. The Torah is specifically warning us against creating our customs this way. If Jews do something a certain way, it does not make it a Jewish custom yet. If all Jews happen to walk around in pink pants all over the world, every Jew all over the world starts wearing pink pants. Why? Because that's what they do. And they've been doing it for generations. And for many, many centuries, every Jew was wearing pink pants. Does it make it a Jewish custom? No, because it doesn't have any source in the Torah. The only way how you could have a custom is if it has some support in the Torah, a Torah context. Several times, our rabbis have been reprimanding communities for having what they called minhag shtut, which means a nonsense custom. A custom that has no source, and people do it, and people a lot of times go crazy about it. And this rabbi comes to this community, and he's like, why in the world do you have this custom? Could you please indicate where does it start from? What is the source of it in the Torah? And unless there is such an idea, it's cultural, but it's not part of Judaism. It's not part of Jewish life. There might be nothing wrong with it, but it's not part of Jewish life. There's nothing wrong with walking around in pink pants if you want to, but it's not part of Judaism. There's no mitzvah in the Torah, thou shalt wear pink pants every day. So there is a distinction between these two things, which is very, very important. A lot of times, people, especially people who didn't have a typical yeshiva education, people who, let's say, became observant later in their lives, more than half of frum people today became frum later in their life. There's a lot of people who are observant, they want to do the right thing, they are studying as much as they can, but they didn't have the formal education. So I see that a lot of times people like that have a difficulty distinguishing between a true custom, which is based on the Torah, and a culturally accepted norm that has nothing to do with anything Jewish.
Our rabbis have been extremely careful in separating between what people do just because they happen to do it for whatever reason it is, what people do because of the influence of the culture that we live amongst. There are Jewish communities spread all over the world, and many times Jews happen to do certain things just because all the people around are doing that. And also, the rabbis have been very careful to separate what we know from the Torah from what we know from the sciences or from natural observations. For example, we all know that 2 plus 2 is 4, but is it a Torah fact? It's not a Torah fact, so it's very important for us to differentiate between these two things, and we have to know what is from the Torah and what is not. And the rabbis have been making sure to assert only the things we know from the Torah.
The rabbis of Talmud were not secluded in a cave where they had no exposure to the outside world. We have the records of the debates that rabbis of Talmud had with the Greek philosophers. We have the records of rabbis discussing the medicine of those days. One of the first things we need to do is we are trained to differentiate between the temporary culture and the information from the Torah. Specifically because we are so careful with it, we always look for the source in the Torah for every claim we are making. I'll give you an extreme example. The Rebbe, when he spoke by Farbringens, when he spoke at large public gatherings, His words are recorded. Sometimes, if it was during a week, there's a tape recorder. There's a recording of his words. If he would make, let's say, reference to the sun, and he needed to mention that sun is rising in the east, he would say, and the sun is rising in the east, as it says, and he would quote a verse from the Torah that says that sun is rising in the east. You would listen to the Rebbe, and you will say, I think every kid knows that sun is rising in the east. And if you have any doubt, then just look outside in the morning and you'll find out where sun is rising. So why does the Rebbe need to quote a verse from the Torah explaining that the sun is rising from the east? So the answer is, the fact that we see sun rising from the east is not necessarily yet a sufficient proof that sun is rising in the east. It could be a fluke that we just observed happening by mistake. It could be our erroneous perception. It could be many different things. I know the sun is rising in the east because the Torah says so, not because I see it rising in the east. So in other words, the social norms of the environment that people lived in were always very carefully separated from whatever has a source in the Torah. I'll give you another example. Rambam writes about the laws of modesty, how women's supposed to dress. And he explains what parts of a woman's body is supposed to be covered in public according to the Jewish law. Then afterwards, he proceeds to write, this is all in the situation where the people around us, the nation that we live around, have same or lower standards of modesty. But if the nation that we live amongst have higher standards of modesty, for example, Rambam was living in Muslim countries, first in Spain and then for a short while in Israel and then for most of his life in Egypt, he lived in a Muslim society. So I'm assuming that all the women in that culture were covering their head with headscarves, maybe even their faces and whatever it is. So Rambam specifically writes, if we live in a society where women cover their head with a headscarf, then we also have to do that. Why? Several of his commentators write several reasons. He says, first of all, we just for ourselves, we don't want to be less modest than they are. Also because we don't want to be looked down by them, that they will say that they're not moral people. And third reason, which was brought down, that if our women will be less modest than other women around, then our women will make themselves easy targets. Rambam specifically writes about what the Jewish law is. And then he says how this Jewish law is working in a backdrop of the culture that we live amongst.